Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let us indeed go around the NFL here in loop. And we begin with a little bit of news of visits. Visits continue happening in this time period, and visits typically being something that matters because when teams want to get more information on a player, it usually means that they're interested in them. The one that I find interesting is a player who's had a lot of conversation around him, and his name is Shedeur Sanders. I don't know if you're familiar with this gentleman. Have you heard of him?
I have heard of him.
Yeah, his father. Yeah.
Who?
His father played a little bit of NFL football at a point. I don't know if you remember him. His name is Deion. No, but Shedeur is...
Don, you say?
Deion.
Oh, Deion.
Yeah,
okay.
Deion. Yeah, yeah. He plays a little baseball, too.
You might have heard about that.
That as well. Yeah, that's such a dumb gambit, but it makes me laugh every time, personally, within myself. All right, Shedeur Sanders is scheduled to visit the Steelers tomorrow. And so this is interesting because there's been this conversation about is he falling or what have you. And, you know, my general philosophy on, like, draft stock, I think it's kind of nonsensical to take this time period where you didn't have as much information as to where how teams are feeling and then say that, you know, now that you're getting closer to this time period where more of the factors involved in the organization are getting their feelings known, and now that some of the draft scouts are getting more intel into what teams are feeling, that means somebody's falling or what have you. But with that being the case, it does seem like there's a possibility of him going a little bit lower than I think people had previously thought before we got to this point. And just to illustrate that, people were talking about him as, earlier on before we had more understanding and more testing and insight into what the offseason and what this this draft lead-up looked like for Shedeur. We were talking about Cam and Shedeur being the two quarterbacks on that tier at the very top. Mm-hmm. So possibly Shedeur Sanders being drafted to number two to the Browns, or number three to the Giants. And those are still possibilities, we know. But now it feels like he's more in a secondary tier somewhere between where Cam Ward is at the top and where the next group of guys are below him. Mm-hmm. And that seems like that can put him anywhere from, in teams that are interested, number six, Las Vegas with the Raiders. I think he's had a visit with them as well. Number nine with the New Orleans Saints. And now, number 21, the 21st pick, the Pittsburgh Steelers are there.
It seems like it's possible, though, man.
Oh, for sure.
It is very possible because when you talk about the Raiders, they got Geno Smith. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they want to spend that high of a draft pick on another quarterback like that that's not going to play right away.
Well, and that's an interesting perspective.
New Orleans is probably more realistic.
Yeah.
But even New Orleans, I know that they have a quarterback. I don't know how much they like their quarterback and Derek Carr. But both of those guys, I think Geno a little bit less of this, but they you could probably view them as some level of, like, gap quarterback of sorts. It feels weird to say that because, I mean, they
well,
gave
Carr Geno, for sure.
Geno just got an extension, right?
Yeah.
Which was, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, he, reasonably, you can see him playing there for a while. But also, I don't know if it's so exorbitant that if you have a rookie, a dude on a rookie deal who then outplays him,
right,
that you wouldn't put him up there. But I do wonder, especially for this draft class where you have guys who maybe their high end is like being the 12th best quarterback in the league, which is not a bad thing, but you do wonder like how much capital you want to spend on that. Is it nice to then get a quarterback and still have a quarterback that you can lean on and then bring him up, and then whenever he is ready to be your starter, then give him that opportunity? And that's one of the things that people have kind of talked about in the general sense of possibly being the best way to bring along a quarterback.
No, I think it is, but I think those days have faded and if not gone altogether away. You know, you draft quarterbacks now in the first round. It used to be like a number two, top three or whatever. Those guys you figure are going to start right away. Nowadays, I mean, we were talking about Michael Penix Jr. in the break there. I mean,
yeah, according to Justin Simmons,
yeah,
he's got it. I don't know what it is, but you got it, kid.
He's got it. No, but my point is, first round quarterbacks start right away these days, more often than not.
Well, that,
yeah.
And then especially if you drafting them that early,
mm-hmm,
it's like, do I pass up some talent that could start right away at other positions,
yeah,
or draft a quarterback that's going to sit for a little bit? And I don't know if like the Raiders or even the Saints are able to do that,
mm-hmm,
or want to do that.
And I think that the 281 here on the Jim Alley of the Texas Hammer text line has a point. And I read the text. The problem for Sanders is this: how confident are you that he's going to have a better career than Will Howard, Jackson Dart, or Quinn Ewers? If you think you can get one of those guys the second or third round, why would you pull the trigger on Sanders? And I think that first and foremost, you look at it, and I think that's a fair question, but I think that you can see the better talent than a lot of those guys. I think those guys are more question marks, especially because like there's limiting factors on all those. Like Quinn Ewers is just, you see the arm strength, mm-hmm, just isn't there. And the mobility or the lack thereof is a problem, especially in this modern NFL where I've gotten to a place where mobility is a prerequisite for being an NFL quarterback, not a added benefit as it was in the past. Dart is an interesting one because I feel like you take him if you have a quarterback and if you have the comfort, mm-hmm, knowing that you can wait for him to get along because he probably needs more seasoning. Will Howard, I hate to say it because, you know, I went to K-State. I like him as a dude. I just don't know how high his ceiling is as an NFL quarterback.
But here's the thing with Shedeur Sanders. You know, everybody thinks, oh, well, he might be dropping because of Deion and all these other things.
Dropping.
You know, whatever. Yeah, air quote dropping. I think it's largely because I don't think he's got those. There's questions about his physical tools as well.
Well, I mean,
you know?
he's got the arm strength. I know that Andre Sisco, formerly of the Jags, now in the AFC East with the Jets,
mm-hmm,
made a big stink over the weekend with some video of Shedeur patting the ball when he threw the football.
That's too much.
And he made such a big deal of, oh, man, we're going to be jumping those. You better get that figured out. And that actually caused NFL Twitter and NFL, mm-hmm, spaces into like a stir with some people saying it's not a big deal. He'll be able to adjust. I talked to our guy Clint, obviously quarterback and trains quarterback. He's like, it's not a big deal. He can figure it out, mm-hmm, like, you know, if he needs to train that. But defensive players, including, who was it? It was a defensive tackle. Was it Cam Hayward? Was talking about it on, mm-hmm, a podcast saying that, hey, defensive players, if you give us a little bit of something to key in on or work on, like that's all we're trying to do is find those things. And so that could be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I lean towards, and I'm going to lean on the expertise of people that have played the position in particular, that it's not going to be as big of a deal to adjust. But yeah, those are all the types of things that I think come into this. Now, speaking of quarterbacks, Jackson Dart is visiting two of the teams that have top 10 picks ahead of this draft, and I know people are starting to look, and you've mm-hmm, been on record very early on that you like Jackson Dart. How much do you think this is a possibility that a team goes interesting and actually takes him to or as the second quarterback?
As the second quarterback, yeah.
Possibly, because I know he's visiting with the Browns and he's visiting with the Raiders. Browns have the second pick, Raiders have the sixth pick. How much do you think it's a possibility that you go there or that we're looking at early in the second round for a Jackson Dart selection?
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies. Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I think there's going to be a surprise. And if you had to pick, like, of all the quarterbacks that are on the board, you know, based on, you know, what people have been talking about here lately, as we get closer to the draft, 15 days away now, and that's getting interesting. More and more top 30 visits. We've talked to John Harris. We're going to talk to him again at 1 p.m. today. You know, how those might be valued a little bit more. I think it's very possible. I think Jackson Dart would be the most likely of all those quarterbacks that are, again, air quote, rising to be the second quarterback taken.
Yeah, because there are people like kind of the raw abilities. They're just like, hey, just needs a little bit more, a little bit more polish. So maybe I'm very locked in on the idea that ain't no way. Ain't no way you tell me that a team that has a chance at one of these blue chip guys in Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, or a team that has an opportunity to add like one of these guys that we know is one of those, you know, tier one kind of players, at least in this draft, and like Ashton Jeanty is going to go, nope, give me Jackson Dart instead, a quarterback who we still have interest. We still have questions on what the ultimate ceiling looks like. And of course, that's not about Jackson in particular. That's all these quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Shedeur Sanders. I don't think it's him sliding because of his I just think it's better players at that position, like elite players at that position, where I'm like, man, I'd rather take a flyer on a Will Howard in the later rounds or something like that, rather than reaching for him a little early.
Yeah, opportunity costs and so on and so forth. All right, some more things around the NFL. Sports Emmy nominations came out, and one nomination in particular I thought was interesting. The category is Outstanding Personality / Event Analyst, rather. So your options here, and you should probably understand where this is going to go, because it's going to be the, you know, the top analysts for these various outlets when we talk about particularly probably football or whatever the sport is. Troy Aikman for ABC and ESPN, of course, Monday Night Football. Peyton Manning for the Manning Cast, ESPN2. Bill Raftery, CBS, TNT, Fox, obviously doing a lot of stuff, including the tournament, which we just saw him in. John Smoltz of Fox for their baseball broadcast, and Greg Olson of Fox for the NFL broadcast.
Yeah.
So the number two analyst for Fox is the one that ends up with the nod or for the nomination of an analyst on.
And who's the number one?
That'll be Tom Brady.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So, he earned it. He deserves it, right?
I think so. I've always felt he's good. I just wonder if, I mean, I don't think Fox backs down it at all. I think that they're the benefit of having Tom Brady there is beyond, is like the name recognition and really the sales opportunities, the advertising and stuff that you can do with Tom Brady, the opportunities to have him on various other Fox platforms and lending that credibility. But this has to make you look a little bit more at this decision that you've made, and the fact that even in various different like capacities, for a nomination and for awards, that people are looking at and be like, actually, the guy that you have second is better than the guy you have first.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other one that kind of, I don't know, I mean, it's not that big a deal, but did you see Nick Saban got nominated?
I did see that.
I'm like, really? Nick Saban?
Saban is one of those guys who, and I find this to be an interesting phenomenon. There's a lot of these dudes who, as coaches, kind of annoying. You get them into these spaces to actually talk about the sport, where you get to see the passion that they have for the sport, and you're like, oh, I actually like listening to them. It's Bill Belichick is the same way, where he's this big ornery dude. You know, we're on to Cincinnati or whatever, and you used to just sit him down and let him talk ball. And we've seen this, obviously, we've heard this multiple times, and he just lights up, and all of a sudden he's having fun with it. I think Saban ends up in that space, and I think that's what they're highlighting.
The emerging on-air talent was the category.
That's right. At how old? 60-something, 70-something?
Yeah.
Emerging. You got a bright future, buddy.
Emerging on-air talent.
That's right.
You're going to be around for a long time.
Actually, who do you think wins this one, fellas?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick of Prime Video. Jason Kelce, ESPN, all those various things that he does. Nick Saban, as you mentioned, at ESPN. Richard Sherman on that Thursday Night Football broadcast. And Jay Wright, CBS, covering basketball.
Yeah.
Who would you select?
I would say Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think
Jason Kelce.
100%. I think Jason Kelsey's the one that they pick.
And I know they ain't put this on the list, but that podcast and all the podcasts he do. And
is that a factor?
I think so.
might be.
That's a popular ass podcast, man. I was walking in with a salesperson here one time, and she asked me, "Did I listen to the podcast?"
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Not really."
She's
like,
probably a Taylor Swift fan.
No, she said she wasn't. I mean, she said she liked her, but she really loved the Kelce brothers, man. I'm like, "Damn, really?" Like, she ain't got no connection to them. Like, damn, okay.
They're entertaining. Get the people going. So yeah, I found that to be interesting. Some other things around the NFL, some reporting when it comes to the top end of the draft, when it comes to the offensive linemen. Will Campbell is only a slight favorite over Armon Membu to be the first offensive lineman drafted. And then also, this was something that I found interesting to hear because, you know, the one of the things that we talked about when it came to league meetings was rule changes that they were considering.
Yeah.
This one popping up was one that we were like, hey, this could possibly affect the Texans, seeing as the Texans got home field advantage, a few times due to winning the AFC South, even though the AFC South can be a little bit of a, you know, depressed division, to say that the least. The NFL, apparently, like the NFL league office or what have you, was the factor that nudged the Lions to ultimately propose that change to playoff seeding, taking away that home field advantage for winning your division. How does that hit you? Because obviously it's one thing if it's just, hey, the Lions feel like this is necessary. But if the NFL themselves, who should be kind of outside of the purview of this, this should come to the teams making that decision and then ultimately the competition committee, the NFL seeming to put their finger on the scale to try and get this done. And mind you, this was something that they didn't put through because they're you know, I guess there was some level of debate still needed, but they tabled it. They didn't completely, you know, say no to this. It feels like the NFL is really trying to get this over.
Yeah, you asked how it hits me. That surprised me that the NFL was, obviously overtly doing this, like, hey, can you do this for us? You know, like, hey, can you make this recommendation, this suggestion, whatever it is, proposal? That's the first thing that hit me. Secondly is what you just said. It's not over, it's tabled, and if the NFL's behind it, I'm sure they're working behind the scenes too,
which makes me wonder, like, is this one of those things where it's just a matter of when as opposed to if?
I think so, and I don't mind it. I obviously can affect the Texans, but it always just struck me weird, you know, that happens.
Yeah. So I think I'm still in the place where I don't want that change to happen, even though I understand the competitive balance. And I saw this happen with the NBA and I was actually largely in favor of it. But one thing that I did see with the NBA, and the NBA is different because those kind of division bonds aren't nearly as strong. You have more of a round robin tournament where you play everyone, or, you know, season where you play everyone compared to the NFL. But I think those division bonds matter so much more in football, and I think it's part of the passion that drives this sport, and I would hate to see those weakened or even damaged by, you know, taking away that.
I think the rivalries are still going to be there. Just the division banners don't matter.
All right, if you say so. Like, I don't want to be negligent in overlooking the possibilities of that. But hey, the NFL seems to want it. We'll see where we ultimately get. The NFL has not been the hog that gets slaughtered just yet, so we'll see what it looks like as they go forward. All right, you are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I think I'm locking in on a pet cat for this draft, and now I've got the support of one of the best draft experts in the land. I'll tell you who that is next.